Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And we'll just turn to Judges chapter 7 again, reminding ourselves of the particular topic we're at the moment. Judges chapter 7, where we have the defeat of the Midianites by Gideon's army. And we're told at the very end of the chapter that the two princes of the Midianites, that's the leaders, Oreb and Zeb, are put to death. We're told where it happened, etc., etc. That's important because as we looked in our last study together, we saw how that later on, centuries later, what happened here is before the mind of God's people, and they're looking back, and they're praying that what God did then, he would do again. Now, the theme of our studies here, every morning, and has been for quite some time, has been pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Bible is filled with pictures of the Savior. It's part of our joy as Christians to discover him when we're reading the Bible, when we see likenesses of him. But you know, God hasn't just given us pictures of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. He has given us pictures of the devil, for instance, the craftiness, the wickedness, the scheme of the devil. It's laid bare in many places and in the lives of men, evil men. Now, you know that children bear a likeness to their parents. Haven't you heard your visiting aunties and uncles and neighbors say to you, "Oh, you're so like your da or your ma or somebody else"? And if you haven't heard it, then I'll go around each one of you and tell you who it is you're like, because the likeness can be seen in the face of every child to a close relative. Well, in the same fashion, in the Bible you see likenesses in the faces and in the actions, in the lives of individuals, two great characters. We are looking, as I say, at pictures of Christ. But there's also pictures in the Bible of the Antichrist, who is a character who will appear among men at the very end of this age, and who will lead a great, indeed the final, rebellion against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see pictures of him in the Bible because God wants us to know what this person looks like so that you, if you're alive when he comes, will recognize him. I was just looking at some news websites this morning before I came here, and I saw on one news report a sort of a shadowy, fuzzy picture of a man. And it said, the police are looking for this man in connection with a crime. Watch out for him. Well, God does the same, boys and girls. Only the pictures that he gives are not fuzzy. He gives us very clear indications of the character of the Antichrist. You will see him, for instance, in the actions and in the life of Pharaoh. Start looking at what the Bible says about Pharaoh. You will see. Why, there's a picture of the one who is to come. You'll see him in Goliath. You will see him in Judas. You will see him in an awful lot of evil characters whose lives are recorded in the Bible. And God wants you to note that. You see, they're all related. They all belong to the same family. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said to those who were opposing him, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father ye will do." So those who are not saved and who are part of the family, the spiritual family of the devil, you will see in them likenesses. And some of them are more like the devil than others. And the Antichrist, who will be, as it were, the very chief of the sons of the devil, is foreshadowed in the lives of many of the individuals we see in the Scriptures. I say all this morning in order to have you understand why it is that we're following up on the references in other parts of Scripture to the death of the two princes. Turn quickly to Isaiah, and it's the chapter 10. Now, we have been here before, but I'm taking the time today just to go back over it, because being reminded of these things is no bad thing. Well, in the book of Isaiah, here in the chapter 10, you have an account of the defeat of one of the great enemies of Israel, the Assyrian. The Assyrian nation lay to the north of Israel, and oh, they gave a lot of trouble to Israel over the years, and here they have invaded the land. And God, through his prophet Isaiah, in this account in Isaiah chapter 10, says that in the end, the Assyrian will be defeated, and will be defeated just like the princes of the Midianites, as recorded in the days of Gideon. Look at the verse 26 of Isaiah 10, "And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb." So what God did for Gideon all those years ago, he did again with regards this Assyrian. He did it again. He repeated that victory. He repeated that victory. But what I want you to notice, boys and girls, is that he will repeat that victory yet again. Now turn back in your Bible to the Psalms, to Psalm 83. I believe this is a psalm that is prophetic in its content. It speaks of a future time when Israel will be surrounded by their enemies and destruction is staring them in the face. It's a psalm that points us forward to the great attack by the Antichrist upon the Jewish people and upon Israel. Look at verse 4. "And they have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." That's Antichrist's ambition. Wipe them out. Now, as I say, God has given us pictures. And we're looking at the picture of the Lord Jesus coming again that is presented to us here in this battle, this victory that Gideon won over the Midianites. Listen to me, boys and girls. From the dawn of time, God has given to his people pictures of the return of Christ. Long before his first coming, there was an emphasis being placed upon his second coming. And the people of God had information from the days of Adam on the character, the splendor, the glory, the victory of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants that before our minds. And I say to you, each one of you, may God write that truth on your heart and enable you to live your days with a consciousness Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. Now, I've got to ask you all, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come again? Because when he comes, there will be a work of separating. He will gather those who are really his to one side, and he'll gather those who are not his to another side. And let me tell you, there will be over here, many's a mommy and a daddy, while over on this side, there will be many's a son and a daughter, and the family is divided, because mommy and daddy were saved, but the sons and daughters didn't give heed to the gospel, and they weren't saved, so they're not gathered to be with the Lord Jesus for all eternity, but they're separated from the saints of God. I want you to think upon that today. Now, we looked last time at Isaiah, and we considered how that there was in the chapter 10 a picture of the defeat of the Antichrist by the Lord Jesus coming again, and the repeat of what happened to the enemies of Israel in the days of Gideon. What a marvelous victory that was in the days of Gideon, when it had in it the foreshadowing of the great victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, boys and girls, I've got to tell you, every time the Lord Jesus defeats his enemies, it's a picture of the final defeat. It's a rehearsal. You know what that word means. It's a rehearsal for the final defeat. Now, today, time's nearly gone altogether, but I want to show you one other point that links the victory of Gideon over the Midianites to the victory of the Lord Jesus over the Antichrist and his forces. Look at Judges chapter 6 and the verse 33. Then all the Midianite and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. That's an important location, boys and girls. If you ever get to Israel, doubtless you will take in a visit to the region spoken of here, the Valley of Jezreel. When we were there on the one time that I was in Israel, we drove up Mount Carmel. That's where Elijah defeated the priests of Baal and prayed for rain. Do you remember that story? Well, we drove up Mount Carmel, quite a height, and you can come in one place on Mount Carmel to what is virtually a cliff, and you look right out over the Valley of Jezreel. And as we would say, it's as flat as a pancake. Beautiful, flat area. It has the River Kishon wandering through it, and way in the distance, Nazareth. And if you could see far enough, the Sea of Galilee. There's this huge plain, huge area, and it's flat. And it's just the place for an army to assemble. Just the place. Because you can arrange your army in its ranks and get everything organized, and men can see a great distance, therefore they can see the officers who are leading them and so forth and so on. Just the place to assemble an army. Now I want you to turn to the last book of the Bible, and to chapter 16. And we're just going to get a wee glimpse at this. Chapter 16 of the book of the Revelation. We're going to read from verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Well, the dragon was the devil. That's one of the titles of the devil. So out of the mouth of the dragon, there comes these three frogs. Of course, God's using pictures here. God's using pictures to tell us truth. So out of the mouth of the dragon, there came these unclean spirits like frogs, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So he's involved in this as well. Out of the mouth of the devil, out of the mouth of the false prophet, there comes these unclean spirits. Verse 14 explains what they are. And they are the spirits of devils. There'll be a loosing of satanic power. What am I doing here today? I'm putting forth my influence. I'm seeking to influence your minds, aren't I? How am I doing it? By opening my mouth and speaking. And that's how I influence you. And I seek to plant thoughts, truths, in your minds and in your hearts. And I'm seeking to move you to act in accordance with the truths that I'm setting forth. But here we have the devil and the false prophet, and out of their mouths are coming influences that aren't for the good. They're unclean spirits. And these unclean spirits, we are told, in verse 14, will be able to work miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them, the kings of the earth. I believe this is specifically the 10 kings who support Antichrist, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So this influence going forth from the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet are to gather men unto a great battle. And it's the great battle, the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. That is, I come unexpectedly. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. So there will be a great gathering of evil forces and evil men unto a certain place. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Do you know where that is? The Valley of Jezreel. So the gathering of the Midianite and the Amalekites and the children of the east is a picture of a gathering in the future of all those who are the enemies of God and of Christ and who hate Israel, and they're gathering to destroy Jerusalem. But just as the gathering of the children of the east and the Amalekites and the Midianites ended up with a glorious victory for Gideon, so it will be that those who gather to Armageddon to march on Jerusalem, it will result in a great victory for the Lord Jesus Christ and the final overthrow of the armies of Antichrist. So there is a picture, even in the very place where these enemies of Gideon gathered together and formed up, there's a picture of events at the end of this age. There we must leave it. Oh, boys and girls, I trust that more and more you'll begin to think of the day of the Lord, for he would have us think upon that. Let us bow together then in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your mercy. We thank thee for the truths that you have set forth in your word, and how simple and wonderful are those truths. There's not a boy or a girl here, Lord, this morning, but can grasp something of what it is that has been set forth. Jesus is coming again, and we have pictures of his coming and his victory set forth in the Bible, and one of them is here in the life of Gideon. Oh, bless your word to every heart. Bless the children today in the school and all its needs. Embrace the whole family of our school, Lord. Meet its needs, I pray. God, supply the need of our little school, as thou did supply the widow long ago. Do it again, for thou hast not changed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.